Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
The sound of children playing. Something about hearing children laughing and playing has a way of bringing us joy. When was the last time you played? No children, no work, just stop and took the time to tap into your inner joy. You're never too old to play. Successful people value their playtime. That's why Divine Arts Productions presents PLAY. Purposefully loving and appreciating you. A weekend specially designed with you in mind to help tap into the big kid inside. There'll be dancing, music, video games, pool parties, fireworks, and so much more. To register, go to iwillplay.org. That's iwillplay.org. Give yourself the gift of having fun. I will play, and I will see you there.
Hey, this is Jenny Cressman. I've worked in the field of woman abuse for almost 20 years, and I want to give you something to think about. I don't generally like labels, but lately, I've begun to feel that one little label is really important to embrace. Feminism. There, I said it. The new F word. For too many people, that's a dirty word. But really, feminism is about equality. Feminists seek greater social, political, and economic equality of the sexes. It's about raising women up to the same level as men. So, I'm an F word. How about you?
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. You're listening to Life Conversations Radio.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong. I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God, I am you. I am healed, I am love, I am great. I am wonderful, I am whole, and I am free.
If I am you, and you are me, then let's explore the unity, the harmony never conceived before. So sure, doors closed, now bulldozed by possibility. My reality reordered by divine order that transcends, ascends who and what I used to be. A mere vessel of personality. Too small to contain, too small to restrain, a content too infinite to define, too magnificent to confine, too perfect to refine, too precious not to align with the truth of my being. Now seeing with fresh new eyes, the lies no longer capturing my attention, a new comprehension of a dimension of purity that opens my heart to our unity. If I am you and you are me, then where is the unity, the responsibility to dare to care for one another? No cover can camouflage our connection.
that detection defies rejection. No objection can force my defection, no more dejection of what I know to be true. You are me, and I am you. A truth so simply true that it escapes our imagination, our affirmation, our determination to live like we know what we know. No more spiritual amnesia, a seizure that has us convulsing with the pulse of the world at a beat so steady that it makes us wonder if we are ready to step to the drummer inside. Step on with the rhythm that says that we are marching together, and whether fair or foul, through sunshine and storms, causation and forms, we acknowledge each other's existence, no longer pretending like I don't see you. 2 inches from me in the elevator. Standing next to me in the grocery line. No longer acting like what happens to you and your family bears no reality on my health and well-being. Now decreeing that our interconnectedness creates a nest in my heart that hatches a love that remains no matter the strains on our relationship. I don't have to like you to love you. And I am the people that I don't like. And with enough foresight, I'll grow to love the you that's me. And even if it's hindsight, it still guides my vision, informs my decision to stay open and concerned when I've been burned or returned to someplace I couldn't forgive before. Yet the doors, once closed, are bulldozed into possibility, reordering my reality with an order so divine that all I can do is shine. Remind myself of our unity, born out of our divinity, which only needs an opportunity to just be. Be what? Be everything, especially one with you. If I am you, okay, and you are me, then where is the unity? The sense of urgency that says that our fates, intertwined by divine design, can't wait until I am ready to do what I ought. My heart caught in a thicket of indifference. Can't wait to feel what I should or release what I could have done. Don't sing me no blues. Bombard me with the news, for I refuse to be jaded, persuaded into defiling our oneness through condemnation and separation. Our liberation is in the revelation that I am you and you are me, and that together we are one people. I won't forget that you are not a threat to my being who I am meant to be. You cannot hinder my authenticity. Harmony, the dignity, respect, resting on my tongue, ready to bless you, caress you in compassion and understanding. Respect, nestling in my psychic space, ready to embrace our dance of differences, amalgamations of cultures and traditions, an exhibition of beauty in diversity, a prohibition of envy. the true power is in our unity. No longer judging by appearances, our experiences, expectations, or demarcations, duality and abnormality, whose fruit we no longer consume as we resume our identity as sisters and brothers of the earth. Alive, available today for all to be.
And so it is. It is about unity, the joining together, the recognition that we are one. So when we remember that, we can create a loving community. We can all gather together and support one another. And if there's somebody who just don't want to play your game, you just have to say, okay, go to another playground. I don't want you on my playground. But you know, you can't keep them away because they're always connected to you. And if you're having issues with people on your playground right now, you're at the right place. We're going to show you, teach you, share with you, inspire you to see that some of your friends on the playground that are getting on your nerves, they're here to teach you something wonderful. It is truly all about unity. That was Reverend Deborah Johnson, and that spoken word on Valerie Joy's CD. To find out more about Valerie Joy's CD, ValerieJoy.com, ValerieJoy.com, Reverend Deborah Johnson, go to innerlightministries.org to find out more about them. Different way to start the show today, but it's what was called for. I tell you, I always listen to and for what to play at the beginning of the show. And that's what I got. It's like, really? Okay, yes, it works. Let's just breathe in together. And breathe out. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and you make a difference. You make a difference because you're alive. You make a difference because you exist. You make a difference because you are that place where God gets to say, I look good. Look at me. You make a difference because you are here. And thank you for tuning in to yourself. When you tune in to intuition. You get all the information you need to go with the flow and glow with the flow. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show on LifeConversationsRadio.com. We are here Monday to Thursday, 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern. That's the official time. You know it. Some of my listeners are telling me, notice that you've been going, you've been extending your shows. Yes, I do. I know I've been extending the show. I've been a little bit resistant, you know, but right now the official time is 12 to 1:30 p.m. But, you know, we just go and grow with the flow. That's just, we just surrender. But one thing for sure, no matter how long we go, we'll be done by 2. But we usually finish with the guest around 1:50, 1:20. We push it sometimes 1:30. It just get good. The good gets gooder, and I want more, and everyone wants more. But yes, we surrender. Aha. Today's topic, what a wonderful topic. Relationship as a spiritual practice. For some of you who, I don't know how to meditate. I can't meditate. I don't have time to meditate. Guess what? That's the reason God gave us relationships. So one way you're either going to do it by default or to say, you know, I need some peace in my life. And Reverend Rio Kelly's in the house from Agape International Spiritual Center, so you know it's going to be good. Brace yourself. Be ready to be transformed. Simply by listening to the show, you will be transformed. I know that to be the truth. I know it. You can't hear it and not be changed. You're going to experience a miracle. Let me give you some announcements. Well, there, for those of you who don't know, this is our fourth. We're sort of silently celebrating our fourth year anniversary on Blog Talk Radio. June 18th, 2008 was the first time we started broadcasting on Blog Talk Radio. Life Conversations Radio started in England in 2004. So we've been going on for a little while, you know. And I'm, yeah, happy summer solstice to everyone. Oh, we got extended daytime. Oh, I can get more work done. Oh, no, it doesn't matter. It's still 24 hours. Ah, well, okay, well, yeah. So, yeah, let's give you some announcements. The number is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. Press 1 on your keypad for your questions and comments, especially those of you who are in a relationship and you're saying, but why won't they leave me alone? They're getting on my nerves. Reverend Leo Kelly, please help me before I strangle somebody. 347-426-3346. Good Lord. Gee, who's this guy? Press one on your keypad. And also, if you want to call in and, you know, your partner's in the house and you want to talk about them because you just... you're ready to leave them because you just had enough, but you don't want them to know you're calling in about them. Even on Facebook, may not be the best idea, but Facebook, put your business on Facebook and see if Facebook can keep a secret. You can post your questions and comments on Ask Life Coach at a fan page, Ask Life Coach at a like page, fan page, like page, same thing, and at a ADE. Or if you don't really, you want to keep it secret, you don't want them to know that you can't handle the relationship anymore. You're struggling with all of this thing and this spiritual practice, but you don't want anybody to know. Guess what? We got something for you. Go to lifeconversationsmedia.com. Lifeconversationsmedia.com. Yes, yes, yes. It's all about fun. It's all about laughter. Lifeconversationsmedia.com. There's a tab there. Just click on that tab. It says Ask Life Coach Addy. Fill in the email, and we'll get it. If you don't want us to mention your name because you're growing in consciousness, then we won't mention your name. Maybe that will. No, I won't. I promise. What else do I need to tell you? Tomorrow we have Reverend Karen Russo joining us talking about wealth consciousness, creating wealth. We're talking money. You know, that's the thing that we work with, struggle with. I know I have my challenges with money. And even though I say to myself, it's got nothing to do with my being spiritual, because I know that money's just it's energy. But there's some programming, there's some software that was embedded in my hard drive, lovingly, but somehow I can't seem to find it. I've used the antivirus, I've defragged, I've reformatted my hard drive, but still that program keeps playing. So Reverend Karen Russo will be joining us tomorrow to help us just deactivate all the stuff that we don't need anymore. And one more thing, actually two things I'm going to tell you so we can jump into this conversation. Next week, Tuesday, because it goes in line with today's show, you can check out the calendar and see the upcoming guests. But next week, Tuesday, we have a show. The title of the show is I Married Myself. That's the title of the show. Now we have two sisters who are going to be joining us. Their sisters literally married themselves. No, they didn't marry each other. They did a ceremony, and they didn't have a partner. They had their vows, and they made a vow to themselves, and they married themselves. I think, for me, I believe the act of self-love. But some people are tripping about that. Nadine Schweigert. Yay, I pronounced her name right. I think I did. Nadine Schweigert and Desiree Moody will be joining us next week, Tuesday, so make sure you tune in for that show. Now I am ready to go with the flow, and let's just center and realign, and then I'm going to read a little bit about the video and bring it on. But before we do that, let's do this, because this just has a way of realigning the energy and reminding us who we truly are. I am so grateful for Carly Jackson. Let's do this, Carly. Please remind us who we are. What's really going on?
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong. I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God. I am you. I am healed, I am love, I am great, I am wonderful, I am whole, and I am free.
And that is the truth. And the other truth is, I said I was going to tell you two things. 2 o'clock today, Eastern, 2 p.m. Eastern, we have Here to Inspire with Aisha. So make sure you tune in the day after the show, Here to Inspire with Aisha and her guests. A little bit about Reverend Neil Kelly. Reverend Neil Kelly is committed to helping others see their own divinity, the best in themselves, no matter what situation or circumstance they are in, and realizing that they have within them all they need. She's a staff minister at Agape International Spiritual Center and is the director of admissions and register for the Agape University of Transformational Studies and Leadership. Reverend Leo's heart called her to ministry, and she remained true to the calling. Her ministry and vision is to bring the world together through loving relationships, or she calls it loving out loud. And then you can really laugh out loud. I love that, loving out loud, indeed. Realizing that the first relationship it's the one we have with ourselves and spirit. She teaches from the knowing that as we learn to fully love ourselves out loud, we become available to love others in the same way. Isn't that the truth? I felt chills reading that. We begin seeing the other in ourselves and ourselves in the other. And in this way, we can truly have a realization that we are, in fact, one. Yes, when you can look at the other and see yourself in them, and they can see themselves in you, really, we're not worried about them because there's no them, it's only you, just an extension of yourself. That's pure oneness. Now talk about marrying yourself. ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, psychics, and skeptics, physical beings and non-physical beings, help me welcome my wonderful guest, Reverend Rio Kelly. She is in the house, isn't it? Yes.
Hi.
Good morning for you, because it's morning where you are. Good afternoon where I'm at. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
It's nice to have you here to be part of this conversation. And as you know, this month we're focusing on love, relationships, and abundance. And you fit in perfectly. And I'm so grateful for your work. But before we jump into the conversation, I want to ask you a question. I read a little bit about you some of the listeners that are listening, I'm sure a lot of streamers are listening, they know of you on Facebook. But I want to ask you from your perspective, from your point of view, who are you? Who is Reverend Leo Kelly?
Wow, that's a great question. I am basically the light of God, which is the standard answer. But I'm also somebody who has come through trials and tribulations and come out the other side of it. And I came from being someone who originally, when I was born, loved everything, loved life, loved myself, and then went through a period of time where I didn't like myself so much, and then came back out on the other side and remembered who I am. So that's in a nutshell.
In a nutshell, yes. It's a good thing that when we remember that we are the light of God, we come through out the other side. Oh, we see the light. And life is truly about relationships.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about this relationship as a spiritual practice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for most of the listeners, they get it, even though it's like, I don't quite know that my relationship with my parents is a spiritual practice. I don't understand it. Can you tell us what you mean when you say relationship as a spiritual practice, loving out loud?
Well, the biggest relationship that I've had is with my mom and my dad. I was an only child. And so all of my life I have had a relationship as a spiritual practice. I just didn't know it was a spiritual practice. It wasn't until I really got on the other side of it that I realized that even though I was in, you know, a supposedly practitioner training and being a practitioner and ministerial school and being a minister, that I really was still triggered by my mother.
Mm.
And that was when I started, when I was in ministerial school especially, was when I started really cultivating this practice, this relationship as a spiritual practice. I had been doing it all my life and didn't really know that I was doing it, but I was able to formulate it into words, and I started studying and realizing that in my own body and in all of our bodies, we have a natural tendency to separate and to be one all at the same time. Our own brains are, you know, the one hemisphere sees everything as separate and the other hemisphere sees everything as one, as together. And so when I started looking at that, and I heard Dr. Jill Bolte Taylor and talked about her stroke of insight, I realized that I was doing that even with my mother. And I was seeing her as separate. She's my mom, and she doesn't know me, and she doesn't understand anything I'm doing, and she doesn't know how to support me. And I started realizing that we were, in fact, one. Yes, I was born, I came through her, but I'm not of her. I'm not a part of her. I have my own spirit. But I started cultivating my relationship with my mother as a spiritual practice. And I will tell you right now that for me, the biggest relationship and the most challenging relationship for me to have as a spiritual practice is the one with my mom. Mm-hmm. And I love my mother, but she will push every single button that I have because she helped create them. You know.
You know, there's a school of thought. You may subscribe to this school of thought about we choose our parents, and for me, I believe it, but and know it, I feel it, I sense it. And for those who don't believe or agree with that, it's fine. It really doesn't matter. But you know, one of the things that I've heard people say is, if I chose my parents, you heard about your mother, and I know I had my dad, my mother, and my father. Mm-hmm. If I chose my parents, is what they would say, why would I choose parents who were not loving, parents who abuse, or a parent who I knew was going to abuse me or were going to neglect me? Why would I choose somebody who was loving? I just can't. I'm sorry, I just can't believe that I choose my parents because they're just mean. They're the worst. They're the parents from hell. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, actually I can. I mean, my parents, fortunately, they didn't beat me, but they verbally, you know, my mom, not so much. My mother was very, very afraid of everything. My father, who passed on, probably about 15 or 16 years ago, was very verbally abusive. And why would I choose that? Why? Well, having gone through everything that I went through, it brought me to be the person that I am today. And I had one of two choices. I could either be completely shut down and forget who I am, or I could move beyond the circumstances of my childhood and beyond all the external and the, like I said, the circumstances, the effects of my childhood, and remember my divinity. I remember now. And I'm in the process of writing my book. I've been writing for about the last 9 months of my life and of the things that I went through, not just with my own parents, but also with a result of their beliefs and all the things that their doubts and their fears and how they translated to me. And so, yeah, it is hopefully an opportunity for other people to remember that even if there was abuse, there was verbal abuse, there was physical abuse, no, it wasn't fun, and it's not right. It is not okay for an adult to abuse a child. That's not okay. However, it's not something that I can change at this point in my life. It happened to me. It is what it is. So now, where do I go from here? Do I continue to be the victim? Do I continue to abuse myself? To continue to perpetuate that abuse of myself? I can't do that. I can, but then I'm going to live that kind of a life. I'm going to get to have that in my outpicturing of my life, where I will have continued relationships that will abuse me because I think that that's all I'm worth.
You know, as I listen to you, for me, I mean, when I think of this idea of us choosing our parents, it's easier for me to see and digest and embody when I remember that we are more than this body. We are soul. We are soul in a body, and there's a reason we're here. I actually go as far as saying, you know, every one of us, each individual, are here to bring more love, if you will. The process of evolution, that what happened in the past, I am now here to heal that and allow God as me, God through me, to be so much more love. You talk about loving out loud. And this morning it just occurred to me. My co-producer always told me, she said, gosh, you're hard on yourself. And I'm thinking, no, I'm not hard on myself. But today it just really came up for me. It's like, dude, cut it out. You are hard on yourself.
Yeah.
And I kept thinking about that. And my mom, I kept thinking, okay, what's that about? My mom flashed in my mind. Now, there was no blame, but I just know how I was around my mother, the conversation we had. And my mother was, you know, I think I was a sensitive young boy. But that's for me, my story. Let me put it this way. My story was my mother did not support me in my sensitive self that I was when I was younger. And now I tell people, I said, you know, we franchise our parents. So the things my mother used to say to me that I didn't like, I do it to myself in my own thoughts. Mm-hmm. So it's like what I want to ask you is how do we go about, and I mean, I know you sort of touched on it, but how do we go about selling that business? Because we franchise our parents, we end up treating ourselves the way our parents treated us, and we say we didn't like it. How do we go about undoing that or healing that or releasing that?
Well, that's exactly where the spiritual practice part comes in. You know, the interesting thing is that when, for me, and I would presume for you and our listeners as well, is when I pray and when I meditate and when I cultivate this spiritual practice, if I'm walking out in nature, I'm not worried about what my parents are thinking about me. I'm not worried about what other people are thinking about me. I'm staying in the moment, and I'm with my breath. And I always bring it back to my breath. When I find myself getting into that, you know, because I've done the same thing, is beat myself up. I hear my mother's voice or I hear my father's voice and go, oh, okay. And it isn't a blame on them. It's just what it is. And so I bring myself back to going, okay, what's true about me? Wait a minute. I am a spiritual being. I'm a spiritual being. Got that. Now I bring it back to the breath. Where am I right now? I'm standing here right now I'm standing on my floor. Okay, am I that little kid in my house. No, I'm not even in that house. I'm not even there. Mm-hmm. I'm only there in my mind. So where am I? And so I bring myself back into this moment, and that's the spiritual practice. And that can be done even when I'm in the conversation with my mother on the phone, which is why I said relationship as a spiritual practice. While she's triggering me, and she's maybe saying something that is not okay with me, I have to literally just, whoa, okay, a minute, let me take a breath. And I said this out loud to her. I was like, you know what, Mom? I need a minute. I need to take a breath. And then I bring myself back. I'm in my body. I'm not 12 years old. And sometimes I've said that to her, Mother, I am not 12. You know? I will always be the same amount of years younger than you. You will always look at me as your child. But I'm not 12. So let me bring it back to the breath. Okay. So let me hear her fears. And so then I have the opportunity to hear what she's saying, and even sometimes what's behind what she's saying, which generally for her is fear. Generally, she's afraid she's going to lose me. She's afraid she's going to die. She's whatever. And then I have the opportunity to minister to that, to help her through that, and to help her see her magnificence rather than directing it, the fear towards me and me reacting. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah, oh my God, yes, yes. And, you know, I that process, you know, this relationship as a spiritual practice takes courage. You've got to cultivate it. It's an ongoing thing.
Yep.
But there's those of us who in the spiritual community think because we're affirming and meditating and going to retreat and singing Ricky's song, I Release, I Let Go, every day, every morning, we should be able to just automatically heal the past and move on. And so for me, I think it's helping ourselves remember. You said earlier, it's to remind yourself, I'm not that little child in the house anymore. As a matter of fact, I'm not there. And the other point that you brought up, I think, is very powerful, is to just stop and take a breath. Mm-hmm. And just stop and take a breath. But we take that for granted. Can you speak more about why that is so powerful? Because it's so right there. We have it. We don't have to go anywhere. We don't have to go on Amazon to download it. We got breath right here. Can you speak of the importance of stopping and taking a breath?
Yeah, the importance is it brings us really back to the moment. And in this moment is where everything's created. So it is not, it leaves all past behind and all future in the future. The breath is really, it's us. It's our sign of being alive in this body. Mm-hmm. When we physically die, we don't have breath anymore. The breath is gone from the body.
Mm-hmm.
So as we breathe, we remind ourselves that we are alive. We're still vibrant, and we still got a shot, so to speak. You know, we can create new stuff out of this moment. And I teach my students, you know, my students will get into their story. And if any of them are listening, they will know exactly what I'm about to say. They'll start talking, well, my mom did this, my dad did this, or my boyfriend did that, and they start going into the story. And I say, okay, I get that you may need to talk about what happened, because that does help to heal certain things. But I'm going to invite you to use three little words, up until now. Because everything is created in this moment. So if you say up until now, then you can talk about anything. So if I say, you know, up until now, my mom used to do this, and my mom did that, my mom, blah, 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 and I can tell you everything. And then I say, but now, or and now, I have a different choice. It brings the choice back to me when I use those three little words. Reverend Michael's been using them. Reverend Michael talks about it as well. He's talked about it in services. I got it, actually, I believe, from Mary Manon Morrissey many, 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 many years ago. I had seen a writing that she did, and that changed my life. Those three words changed my life.
Let's intensify this conversation. Let's talk about romantic relationships.
Talk about what?
You know, romantic relationships.
Oh,
you know,
one.
That. Let's turn it up. Because sometimes some of us would say, you know what? I'm just not going to have a loving relationship with my parents. I'm just so clear about that. They get on my nerves. And I just leave them alone. But, you know, I'm going to find somebody who's going to love me and treat me like I deserve to be treated. And then the first
the first few years, well, the first few months, or maybe the first few weeks are great. And then before you know it, the same thing happens, but just in a different body. So romantic relationship, it is some kind of karma, some kind of punishment for humanity to stick to us a romantic relationship. How can we make it enjoyable and harmonious?
Well, I say, am I enjoyable and harmonious? The interesting thing is, and again, I can only go back to what my own experience is that I had a lot of patterns in some of the relationships I was with, and I started saying, well, he did this, and then he left, and then he did this, and then he left, and then he cheated on me over here, and I went, wait a minute, what is the common denominator in all of those relationships? Oh, yeah, that would be me. I was the common denominator in every single one of those relationships and my beliefs that I was bringing into those relationships. So I had the opportunity to pick men who would either naturally fulfill those beliefs, men cheat, men do this, men do that, or who I would push them to the point of believing that, of living out those beliefs. You know, I had perfectly good men in my life who loved me, who really did care about me. And I, because of my beliefs, because of my insecurities, because I was constantly saying, oh, well, I know you were looking at her. Well, I know you were doing, I saw you looking at her, you know, things like that. That was my insecurity. He was fine. Mm. He cared about me. But because I was constantly berating him and constantly saying, well, I saw this, then he's like, well, if I'm going to get blamed for it, if I'm going to get blamed for it and I'm not doing it, I might as well go do it. Mm-hmm. And I know this because my ex-fiancé told me that after we had split up and we had a conversation about it. We had a conversation. He said, well, you know, you blame me for it all the time, so I figured I might as well go do it.
Mm. Wow.
And I was like, wow.
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 Wow. I know, right? I'm saying, well, but isn't that the gift? Because my thing is, I just feel this to the deepest part of my being. When people, when we talk about romantic relationships, people, there's this idea that, you know, your ex should remain your enemy. That if you were with somebody, you should never talk to them again. There are people in a relationship and they're afraid to have a conversation with a friend. But I think there's something so healing, so powerful when you can just talk to somebody you've been in a relationship with. They actually can give you a gift because you're in a different place. And when you talk about your ex-fiancé to say, well, you blame me for everything, well, I might as well just, you know, just step into that.
Yep.
Let me ask you this. You know, because I think there's a two-part question here. You know, there was a time when you blamed him for everything, and then you got to a point where you realized, wait a minute, what is going on here? Let's talk about the part where you saw the light. What happened? What shifted for you that you realized?
A couple of different things is that I got sober. That was the first thing. I used to hide a lot of the things that I did through different substances back in the day. We're talking probably 25 years ago, 26 years ago. And when he and I were together, it was in the 80s, and that was full on into the time where, you know, I saw Rock of Ages the other night, and I loved it, and it was basically what I lived through on the Sunset Strip. And I was laughing, and I was teasing a friend of mine, saying, you know, the only thing that was missing was the cocaine. And I went, wait a minute, because that was that was my life at that time. And so I could not be present with any kind of foreign chemicals in my body. I was a good girl the whole time I was growing up. I didn't drink. I didn't do drugs. All of my friends were going out and partying, and I was the good girl. I was the designated driver all the way through junior high, well, not junior high, but through high school and beyond. I was the one that was the good girl. I was the one that was the sane person. And then somewhere in there, I was physically injured. And I was in physical pain, literal physical pain. And somebody said, well, here's something that'll take you out of pain. And they offered me a line of cocaine. And they were right. It did take me out of pain. It took me out of physical pain.
It worked.
And it took me out of the emotional pain that I'd been in all my life. And so I found a freedom and a way of being in that particular instance that I had never known. And I chased that for a number of years until it chased me. And so when I stopped that back in the 80s, all of a sudden my life shifted. And I started practicing the principles of love and of God. And you know, I went through a 12-step program at the time. And I started remembering, oh, wait a minute, I came here for a reason. I came here for a purpose. So that's what happened, why I could see the light, is because, you know, I, so to speak, hit a bottom with what I was doing at that time. And it shifted my life.
Yeah, and that hidden bottom was like a death, and you were reborn, the death and dying process.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. I don't very often break my anonymity in the respect that it's not something that I go out and say, oh, I did this and I did that, because, again, it's not I did. It's really the process of what I've come through. And and as I've been writing my book, it was interesting because I was talking to Reverend Michael and I said, oh, my God, do I have to tell them that? You know, do I have to tell them that? And he said to me, he said, yes, you do. And he said, you'll heal a lot of people with your story.
You'll heal a lot of people. Funny. Yes, when you were talking, when you were talking, I used to be in they used substance, and you say, yeah, that's 25 years ago. I sort of heard myself say, for those who are wondering. But there's something about revealing ourselves authentically, isn't it? It's like one thing that I find, there are things I'm still, I don't think I'm still ready to talk about.
Just because it was 25 years ago doesn't mean it went completely away overnight. You know, there's still stuff that I realized that, and in the process of writing my book, and I realized that even in this most recent relationship that I've been in and that I was in for 7 years, and who I truly believe is the love of my life, but of course we haven't talked since February, so you know we're having a moment. We're having a moment right now. But the interesting thing is that it took all these years to realize that something that happened to me when I was six has been running me even in this now relationship that I've been in. After all the ministerial school and all the sobriety and all the this and all the learning,
yes.
I caught it literally 2 weeks ago that there has been a particular thing that has still been running me up until now.
What an awakening. If you're just joining us, my guest is Reverend Leo Kelly. She's a minister of at Agape International Spiritual Center and the home of Michael Bernard Beckwith, Ricky Byers Beckwith. If you don't know, you better get to know agapelife.com. Today is Wednesday. You want to check out what's going on at Agape. We're talking about relationship as a spiritual practice. Relationship as a spiritual practice. We want to take a break. When we come back, Reverend Rio, I want to talk about self-love, because I'm actually feeling that energy of us confronting the part of ourselves that we are ashamed of, the part of ourselves that we feel guilty about. Because, you know, when we can confront that dark shadow, when we can confront the monster, the dragon of our own lives, then it's easy to love out loud. You know, we love out quietly when we don't want to confront the monster. It's like, well, I'm going to just give my love here, because if I love out loud, then the monster will scream out loud. When we come back, I want to talk about self-love and how we can begin the process. Some of the listeners are listening, you know, we're in a community where people know us, but there are things that we just have that's just like, no, I can't let them know that. So stay tuned. We're going to take a break.
and we'll continue the conversation. The number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Life is good. Press 1 on your keypad, or you can post your question on the Ask Life Coach at A fan page. Ask Life Coach at A fan page. If you don't do Facebook, you can go to, what is it called? LifeConversationsMedia.com. LifeConversations with an S, Media.com. Post your questions there. Wait in the click the Ask Life Coach at A tab and fill in the email, and we'll post your question, or I'll give Reverend Rio your question, and we'll be happy to support you on your transformation. Maybe you're going through a death process. You're dying. Everything you've been holding on to is just disappearing, and you don't know who you are. And you need some guidance. You need some support. 347-426-3346. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Mom?
Dad?
You think if we talk about sex, I'll no longer be your little muffin head, your pumpkin face.
Talk to me about sex.
Tell me to wait.
Sure, it'll change our relationship.
It'll make us closer. And go to fourparents.gov.
For help on how to talk about sex.
This is important.
Tell me to wait to have sex.
And don't worry,
I'll always be your muffin head.
Your cuddle bug.
Your butterbean.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
Ah, the sound of children playing. Something about hearing children laughing and playing has a way of bringing us joy. When was the last time you played? No children, no work, just stopped and took the time to tap into your inner joy. You're never too old to play. Successful people value their playtime. That's why Divine Arts Productions presents PLAY. Purposefully loving and appreciating you. A weekend specially designed with you in mind to help tap into the big kid inside. There'll be dancing, music, video games, pool parties, fireworks, and so much more. To register, go to iwillplay.org. That's iwillplay.org. Give yourself the gift of having fun. I will play, and I will see you there.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Life Conversations Radio.
Giving a voice back to the community. To the community. To the community. To the community. To the
yes, indeed. We are giving a voice back to the community, the global community. As a matter of fact, we're not giving you anything. We're activating your voice so you can express, you can tell your story, to remember that your relationship is a gift. The ones that were painful and the ones that were joyful. There's something in there that you can teach from. There's something, there's a lesson for you to get to know yourself in a whole new way. If you can just but listen, take a breath and just stop. What's here for me to learn? What's the blessing here? It feels painful, but there's something I need to see. My guest is Reverend Rio Kelly. We're talking about loving out loud, relationship as a spiritual practice. And if you're just joining us, we've been talking about relationship with parents and looking at what shows up currently and how to just move through it. We want to move to self-love. What are your thoughts on self-love and why is it important, Reverend Leo Kelly?
Well, simply put, the only love really that I can have is with myself and with God, because I can think that I'm loving you, or I can think that I'm loving somebody else, but really, until I love myself, and as I love myself, I deepen my love for you. I thought that I loved all these people in my life, but because I wasn't loving myself, I was really not present, really.
Right.
You know, it wasn't until I learned to love myself enough to say no to people, to love myself mm-hmm. enough to say yes to people, to love myself enough to determine what that boundary and what that no and that yes meant to me. To me. Mm-hmm. My no and my yes may be different than your no and your yes.
Right.
You see what I mean? So I
yes,
had to love
is.
Me first and find out what do I like? What makes me happy?
Right.
You know? What are the things that turn me on, so to speak? What kind of food do I like? What do I enjoy doing? Do I like going to movies or would I prefer to walk on the beach? You know, those are things that I had to find out and cultivate within myself first.
Right. So much, you know, there's a statement that when I remember many years ago when people say, especially when talk radio, the Jerry Springer's kind of show, talk shows on television, you know, those kind of shows, and people say, you know, maybe their partner cheated on them, and they say, I love you more than I loved myself, and I'll just say, no, you didn't, because you can't give what you don't have.
That's right.
There are people that really believe that they love their family members, their mates, their husband, their wife, their spouse, more than they love themselves. And I want to hear your thoughts on, is it possible to love somebody more than we love ourselves?
It's possible to think you love somebody more than you love yourself.
I know that. I like that answer. Thank you. That's possible.
It's possible to think you love somebody more than you love yourself. Absolutely.
Right.
Because you can think about yourself that you're pretty ratty and you're not good enough and you're this and you're that.
Mm-hmm.
But you can think, oh, but that person's perfect and I love that person and I just give my heart and my soul to that person over there because he's so much better than me. But the reality is that that's your thought. That's not really what's going on. Because the truth of the matter is when we love ourselves, if this person is out cheating on us or treating us, you know, in a way that we don't genuinely want. I mean, there are people who are really honestly okay with being in open relationships. I don't understand it. That's not for me. But there really are people that they're happy. They're okay. They are married. They have their swingers. They go out. They do whatever they do, and that's their life.
Mm.
That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, different strokes for different folks. That's just not how I am. That's not how I'm hardwired, or for me. That's not my preference. So I have to, again, it's about going back to what is my preference. What's my preference? My preference is to have a wonderful partner who I'm intimately in love with, and we have fun and we get to play and we get to banter and we have spirited conversations, and you know, it's fun, and there's a level of seriousness and sacredness and sweetness behind it, and because that's what I am with me. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does, and it kind of leads to my next question, and I'm going to ask this question, and then we're going to move and talk about shame and guilt, because that's, shame and guilt, they've been around a long time. They're strong.
Yeah.
You know, we can go through that, but you spoke to it, but I want to ask you, when I work with people coaching, the people say, yeah, I know I'm supposed to love myself, but, and I want to ask you, how would somebody know that they're loving themselves? Because especially somebody who's allowed themselves, they may not have thought about it as allowing themselves, but they've been in an abusive relationship. All they've known is abuse. All the stories they've told themselves is how their life is not, it's just been horrible, because all their life everybody has abused them. How would they know that they're starting to love themselves? What kind of things would they start to see, think, or feel about themselves?
And thank you for asking that. That's a really good question. And again, I can only go back to what my process for me was, because I was that person. I didn't like myself. I did not. I had zero self-worth. I really did.
Mm.
I had been through a lot of things. I didn't think that I was worthy of having a relationship with anyone, much less an intimate partner. And so what I did was when I started loving myself, when I started, and it was not easy. I didn't quite know. Sometimes I didn't do it so great, you know. Sometimes I fell back and forth, and, you know, it was just like a child learning to walk. You know, sometimes you get up and you walk really well, and then you fall down. You get up.
Yeah.
It's about getting back up. It's about getting back up and buying. I started buying myself flowers. I started taking myself to movies. I did things in the outer that I wanted other people to do for me, so to speak. Like if I wanted a guy to take me out and take me to movies and bring me flowers and all the stuff that girls, some girls like and some girls don't, but for me I wanted, I did that for myself. So if I would, I like roses. Roses make me happy. So I went out and I bought myself a dozen roses. I did that last week because they make me happy. So I go, oh, okay, this is my outward appearance of my cultivation of my inward love for myself. Again, it's still doing the prayer and the meditation, and the spiritual practice always has to undergird that first. My bottom line was I would get up and I'd pray every morning and I'd pray every night and I'd pray during the day. This was long before I came to Agape. I would get up and the very first thing that I would do would be in that days was I would hit my knees. I would get down on my knees and I would thank God for being alive, for being here on this planet for another day. And then that would be the last thing that I would do before I went to bed, would thank God for my day, thank love for my day. And, of course, since then, I wake up, and one of the things that Reverend Michael said in one of his talks a number of years ago is he said, I put my hand over my heart, and I say, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful me. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I literally do every morning. I open my eyes, and the first thing I think is, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful me.
Yeah. Talk about an act of self-love where you get to affirm your own self, where we just say, listen, I am wonderful just as I am. I love what you said about it getting back up, because sometimes some of us focus on the fact that we fell, that we ignore the fact that we got back up.
Yes.
And then there are those of us who would say, well, I got back up, but every time I keep falling, why can't I just stand up? But if it was a little child learning to walk, we're not going to say, you get up. You should know how to walk now. How many times did you fall? How many times? Just get up. But somehow, it takes work to know. I mean, we know we deserve the love. That's why we keep telling the old story about the love that we didn't receive. But somehow the way is this universal hide and seek is like we're right here, but we have to go find ourselves. And some people find it easy to maybe hope that somebody else will give them what they want. But when you say, you know, you identify, you know that you love roses, and you're like, heck, I'm going to get myself some roses. You know, other people would sit there, oh, who sent you that? What did he do? I mean, even that, oh, what did he do wrong? I mean, that's a whole different conversation. I stay away from those conversations about battle of the sexes because I think it's a waste of time. It's a waste of energy. There's this thing about playing man against woman, and I don't know how it works in the same-sex relationship, but I'm sure there's some kind of similar dynamic. But we like to play ourselves against each other. But we're just going to keep going in where we're going because I'm not interested in, oh, he did something wrong or she, you know, even marriage. I guess we'll go there. Okay, we're going to go to the segment. Let's talk about marriage because there are people who, we did a show a few weeks ago, Marriage is a Spiritual Practice.
I heard that show.
Yeah, and John and Kathy, you know, I love their perspective where how they work together, but somehow there's this energy, there's this idea that when you get married, the man is giving up his freedom and the woman becomes the boss and the man has to say yes. And, you know, there's all these ideas. And, you know, I have so many things now I want to talk to you about. It's just like popping in my head. But anyway, let me take a breath. Let me come back to the now.
Just take a breath. Okay, breathe.
Just take a breath.
We're right here.
Yes. All is truly well. 347-426-3346. Reverend Rio's in the house. We're having a conversation about relationship as a spiritual practice. And she's inspiring us to love out loud and let your demons hang out. Give yourself what you want. Just say, yes, I've made a mess of my life. I own it. That's a good place to start. She didn't say those words. I'm saying it. But that's how I'm understanding it. Now, it's like, it is me. I got to clean my mess up.
Yep.
We're going to move quickly to celestial moment. I was going to say ancestral blueprints. I don't know why I always say that, Celeste. What is that really about? I guess what you do, Celeste, is it's ancestral. You're bringing the ancestors, the angels, the spirit guide. Anyway, it's time for celestial moment with Celeste Morgan. Hello, Celeste. How are you doing?
I am great, but I have to ask a question of Reverend Rio Kelly. It's a very important life coach today. Hello, and hello, family. Reverend Kelly. You brought a song to my head. I want to ask you something. It's my warrior cry. I want to know if you're with me on it. So my question is it really better to burn out than fade away?
Is it really better to what?
Burn out than fade away. You saw Rock of Ages. Get ready
for it. Oh, yes. Yes, it is.
Okay, for everybody else, that's a Def Leppard song.
Yes, it is. It's always better to burn out. That means you used every single last ounce of life force energy that you have been given on this planet.
I know that's right. I think Mr. Elliott, the lead singer, would be very happy to hear you flip that metaphysically. And I do know it comes originally from Highlander, but I'm going to stop right there. I love your authenticity. And rock on, sister. That's all I have to
rock
say.
Rock on.
All right.
It's funny that you said rock on and you said Rock of Ages, because I looked at it on Facebook and Donna's in there. While you're talking about Rock of Ages, Donna in the chat room said, love her. Reverend Rio, rock.
I'm going to send a quiet request for any family member. Please post that on my wall right now. Rock of Ages, Def Leppard. Thank you.
Yes.
That's what's up. Reverend Kelly, I love you. You rock. Seriously, period.
Mm-hmm.
And Life Coach today, how are you?
I am in love with love and enjoying this conversation.
And you make it so contagious. Thank you.
Nice.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So in celebration, remember I told you, every day you're going to get a gift, and I'm going to do this quick. I have an affirmation gift for you today. When mm-hmm. you came on, you remember the number was 7, and that's the Chariot in Tarot, and I understand that the sun is in Cancer right now, which is really prophetic, and it's an amazing gift. So the affirmation that I'm reading right now is a blessing for Life Conversations Radio Network, but it also blesses all of us because we're all in alignment when we hear it. So I'm just going to ask real quick for us to tap into this firepower. And the Chariot victory, we all can claim it with you. So happy anniversary. Here we go. And then I'm going to go right into celestial moment. So I'll say hello to the family right afterwards. So here it is. I am stability and movement, able to keep my balance in the midst of change and competing desires. I have the courage to stir a middle course, to struggle with opposing thoughts and feelings, and combine them in creative ways. I am focused attention, determined to find ways to reconcile difficult issues and contradictions. I am in control of my instincts and passions, able to harness their energy and direct it in positive ways. I have confidence in my instincts and abilities. I look forward to a positive outcome. Happy anniversary, Life Conversations Radio Network.
Okay, all I got to say is thank you for listening to Spirit, because damn, I needed to hear the affirmation. I'm sorry. There's no other way to say it. I needed that. I need to hear that again. Aww. Oh, God. I love God. I am so, so thank you, Celeste. Thank you for that gift. I needed that. So go ahead. Do your thing.
It's my pleasure.
I have a moment.
I know, right? You have your moment. You're allowed. We're authentic on this show. Okay, and I want to say hey to the family that's not there because we don't do shout-outs. Let's do it while he's all loving, y'all. Hey, Tam, what's up, Donna, and everybody else, Tamara, Joy, in the chat room. Good afternoon, family, and happy summer solstice. What are you going to do with all that sun today? Let's make some magic. I am Celeste Morgan, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moments. I come bearing a number gift, and trust you will be able to use these tools to embrace whatever is showing up in your life right now. It's Wednesday, June 20th, 2012. Add the date, and you get 2038. add 2038 and the energy of the day equals 13. 13 is the death card in tarot, which is about change, transformation, and rebirth. 13 is also the coyote, the trickster in medicine cards, who comes with sacred lessons to trip you up on purpose. The 13th letter of the alphabet is M, and words like magic, mirror, and manifestation connect us to the divine power of 13. Today, we're going to put the spotlight on the Inquirer, the 13th card of the Black Angel cards. Mm-hmm. On my card, we see an African woman holding the pose of the thinker. She has green lips and green earrings. She gets us in touch with the heart chakra, agape love. It's a gentle reminder to speak and hear with love and offer the gift of compassion in all of our relationships. She is our model. She reflects the inner sacred relationship of divine marriage of your heart, mind, body, and spirit, loving out loud from a state of groundedness and inviting others to join in the fun. We learn to be still in the act of introspection and yet so fluid as we focus on conscious relating. Tapping into her bright yellow shirt all aglow with firepower, we stand in anticipation. Well, inquiring minds want to know, right? The Inquirer reminds us to be still and trust the answers to come. She calls it meditation. Because the truth is, wherever you go, there you are. When we learn to embrace our life stories, our questions shift to bring forth affirming messages, and we become adventurers, ready for new discoveries. All is well, family. And that's the story of 13 told through the Inquirer of the Black Angel cards. I'll see you on Thursday around 1 for another celestial moment. Thank you.
Thank you, Celeste. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
My pleasure, friend.
Ooh, Lord, I got to come back and listen to that affirmation.
That was beautiful.
Thank you for all you do. Yes, yes, yes. Talk about Rock of Ages. And if you're just joining us, we're talking to the rocking Reverend, Reverend Rio Kelly. She rocks.
Yep. That's funny you said that. That's my nickname at work because I listen to my heavy metal music at work.
Wow.
They call me the Rocker Rev. That's hysterical that you said that. Yes. I'm outed.
I know. You can't hide now. You've been outed by the spirit.
Been outed by the spirit. Oh. I love Def Leppard. You bet. And Motley Crue. Yep.
I wish I had some of that song. Hey, I would play it for you, but I don't. I just really need to let go and live in a holy, holy way, okay? You know? So much is just bubbling up for me because this thing about relationships, relationship is such an important topic. We've been talking about the important itself, the most important one. You know, I want to talk about shame and guilt. And, you know, Celeste's affirmation that she read touches me so much because I've been going through an experience the last few days. Actually, yeah, the funny thing about it is the opportunity happened 2 days ago, but the effects linger days later. Right. Now, I am in a better place. And then, as you know, sometimes some things will happen, and I will feel the pain of what happened, and then it will trigger something that seems totally unrelated. And then it's like my whole life is just like, oh, my life is in a mess. What am I doing? Who am I to even do a show and teach spirituality? Look at my life. And I find myself like, whoa, dude, what are you doing? Get out of there. And let's talk about shame and guilt. Because the whole thing about one thing that came up for me is just being authentic now and really help the listeners know, you know, just because I'm here every day don't mean I don't have my stuff going on. But yesterday I was listening to a show about abundance. Actually, it was the guest we're having tomorrow, Reverend Karen Russo, on the wealth consciousness. Mm-hmm. And I just had this feeling that, well, not even a feeling, it's a reminder that I have this recurring thing about money and the guilt about having it and not having it. And when I have it, there's a fear I won't have enough, or it's going to go. And yesterday, I found myself feeling like, I don't know if I'll ever break this. And that sort of shame came up about it, almost like, I don't know if I ever resolve it this lifetime. And I know that the energy of guilt and shame really does just takes me back, takes me to a place that I don't want to be. What do you suggest? How do you, what would you prescribe? What medicine do you have for us when we're in that place of shame and guilt and we find it hard to tap into love, to tap into giving ourselves the roses, to tap into, oh, I got to breathe, but shame takes over. What medicine do you have?
Mm. Thank you for asking. You know, the interesting thing is one of the things that the shame and the guilt, you know, guilt is, you know, I have a problem, and the shame is I am the problem. You know, it uses our I am. Shame is so deep that it uses our I am in that negative way, and in being the problem, in being I'm so bad and I have no, you know, it's that no self-worth space. You know, the guilt can be like, you know, okay, I did something that I shouldn't have done, and okay, maybe I did this, and I have guilt about it. I feel bad about it, but the shame is where the toxicity lives. And
yes.
So when we're in that, when we're, like, in it and really, like, living in that toxic, ooh, place, again, I bring us back to the breath. The breath, because there's no toxicity. You can't, there's no judgment in breath. It just is.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You can't judge your breath
yes.
as being, it's bad breath. It may, the air may smell.
Well, in the morning now, in the morning, Reverend Bill, I agree with you on what you said there. In the morning, the breath is kind of like, woo, funky.
But that would be guilty breath. No, I'm because you can clean that. No, the
right.
interesting thing is that our breath, the breath in and of itself is not, there's no judgment there. There
yes.
is zero judgment in the breath.
Mm-hmm.
On either mm-hmm. direction. Oh, I have great breath.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm the best. This is the best breath I've ever had. There's no judgment one way or the
yeah.
other. The breath is just the breath. And so I've had to literally, you know, put little string around my wrist or little rubber band to remind myself sometimes even to breathe. You know what I mean? Oh, wait a minute. Okay, I can breathe now. And then when I bring myself back to the breath, which is our spiritual practice, which is, again, we go back into our spiritual practice, our meditation, our breath, are bringing ourselves back to this moment. Okay, if I can bring myself back to the breath where there's no judgment, then I have an opening. Then I have that little teeny pinhole of the light that is shining in on that part of that shame where I feel, where I'm in this toxic place. I've got that pinhole of light that is shining in on me where I go, oh, wait a minute, there's no judgment there.
Right. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Because I know for me, and there's something about when we talk about a spiritual practice, it's a daily spiritual practice. We cultivate it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for me, because of what my practice, I was able to catch myself. I found
mm-hmm.
myself going down. Oh, yeah, I remember my parents used to say money doesn't grow on trees. I remember how terrified I was to ask my parents for money because
mm-hmm.
I was afraid that I won't get it.
Mm-hmm.
So if I need money on Monday to take to school and I knew a week before Monday, I would wait till Friday because all that week I've been worrying they're going to say no. I found myself going down the line. I just said, wait, stop, just stop it. There's no need to justify this. And what I learned from those experiences is that when the feeling comes up, when that feeling of shame, guilt comes up, not good enough, whatever it is, it's an opportunity for us to heal that.
Yep.
It's coming up for it to be healed, not to use to say, oh, I can't believe I still feel shame about this. Well,
right.
You do. Get mm-hmm. over it. Take a breath.
Yes.
Take a breath.
Take a breath because the love is in that breath. You know, I mean, love
yes.
is everywhere. Love is not just, you know, between a man and a woman or a mother and a daughter or a father and a son or a father and a daughter or a puppy dog and a human. It's not just that. There's this love. This is the real deal. This is really what this is. It's what we are here as and what we are here for. It's what we are here as. We are love. We're love. Mm. We are big love bunnies. We just are. And all the stuff, the grit and of the world has kind of, it's like seeing a windshield that's got full of bugs and mud and stuff. You don't just drive that way. You put water on it. You clean it. You know, you put the windshield wipers on and you clean it so you can see the love. Nice. You can see the view. And so, again, it's our breath brings us back to the non-judgment, because there's no judgment in breath. And that opens us up to remember that we are here to love, that we are love. And that, yes, love is, it's now we get to look at that judgment that we had about ourselves, or that shame or that guilt or whatever is going on. And we say, okay, where is the love here? What is the lesson? What do I get to learn from this? Like I said, the thing that happened the other day when I went, oh my God, I've had this belief since I was 6 years old that I wasn't worthy of being seen in public by someone that I'm intimate with. So where did I get that idea? Oh, that's where I got that idea. Okay, so now that has been brought into my relationships in a certain way, and now I get to shift that.
Yes.
I get to shift that.
Mm. Let's talk about selfishness. You know, for me, I have a different take on selfishness. I think we got to learn to be selfish. But anyway, let's talk about it, especially, you know, mothers. Mm-hmm. Mothers don't want to feel selfish when they take time out for themselves. In relationships, romantic relationships, we don't want to do something because I don't want to appear selfish. You know, I don't want to be, you know, we just tell ourselves I don't want to do this because I want to be selfish. Can you speak to selfishness? I mean, what's mm-hmm. your take on it and how we can actually heal ourselves of this illusion called selfishness?
Well, I think that there's a different way of looking at it. You know, there's selfishness, what we used to say, the big three, selfish, self-seeking, and self-obsessed. They're selfish, self-seeking, and self-obsessed, meaning for me that you can, I would hurt you to take care of me. That's a different, selfishness, self-obsessed, self-seeking, that I would go out and I would do something and not care what you think, not care what you do, just to take care of me, because I am so perfect and I am the best. You know, there's a fine line there between self-love and self-obsession.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, it does.
Now, self. I would say if somebody's using the word selfish in the respect of self-honoring, then that's just a semantics. That's just a word.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
But what they really mean is self-loving, especially when it comes to a mother with a child. And I know because I have plenty of friends that are mothers and, you know, the babies are new and they don't want to go out and, you know, take a spa day because the baby might... It's be self-loving, self-honoring.
Yes.
It's using different wording to really say what it is you're doing. You're loving yourself. You're honoring yourself. You're giving back to yourself so that you can be present for this child, for this lover, for this relationship. It's really important that we regenerate, and sometimes we need to do that by ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because the act of giving ourselves to ourselves is an act of love, and that act of love is allowing God to reveal itself, himself, herself, whatever, you know, to allow God to show up, to say, you know, I'm not going to do that anymore. That is not serving me, to let go of habits and ways that are not serving us anymore. Before we let you go, I want to read this that you have in, you know, what you teach about knowing that we learn to fully love ourselves out loud. And you say, we become available to love our others in the same way when we love ourselves. Mm-hmm. So we begin seeing the other in ourselves and ourselves in the other. Mm-hmm. And then that's when we really know we're one. Can you just summarize what that looks like, what that means, and how we can just leave that with us? It's something that the listeners would say, I can do that.
Absolutely. When I go to a grocery store or something like that, and I may have somebody standing in front of me who I really wish would not have, you know, 15 items and the 12 items or less lane, and I'm standing there with three items. And I've decided I'm going to have a judgment about them because of the fact that they have 15 items in a 12-item or less lane.
Mm-hmm.
I have to remember that if I've got one finger pointing at them, that they did this, I've got three pointing back at myself. Mm-hmm. Where have I, in my life, done the exact same thing? Maybe not literally where I've taken 15 items through a lane, but where have I tried to get away with something? Where have I maybe needed to get out of there? Maybe this person in front of me has, a husband or a wife who's in the hospital and they need to get out. I don't know. All I'm saying is that when I start seeing myself in that person and I stop judging them, then I can start seeing them in me. Because then I go, oh, wait a minute, gosh, how would I act? Oh, have I ever gone through the 15? Have I ever gone through the 12? Yes, I have. I probably counted and said, okay, well, I have three pizzas or I have three loaves of bread, so that counts as one because it's three of the same, you know. So the bottom line is that when I can start seeing myself in the other person, when I can start seeing myself, my faults, my doubts, my fears, my loves, my joys in that other person. And then I start seeing them and me, and I say, oh, well, you know, I've done that. And what they're doing right now, I've done. And that way, there's a symbiotic relationship, even though I may never speak to that person.
Yes. Yes.
And in that, we are one.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that person gives us an opportunity to love ourselves. The time we judge ourselves for saying, I'm just going to take one cookie, and the cookie got good, it took another one, and then three, and then four. Mm-hmm. It's like, you said you're going to take one, but the person that's in front of us gives us opportunity to be the love, to allow the love. Now, what now? What a gift.
Yeah.
What a gift. The Rocking Reverend has given us a gift. Reverend Rock On, Real Kelly. She's rocking love like no other. Okay,
yeah.
Oh, gosh. So, is there anything else you want to leave with the listeners? Actually, yes, I know one thing, but anything you want to share is fine. I know you've got a class that you're teaching at Agape. And tell us about that, and anything else you want to share with the listeners before you go.
Oh, thank you. Actually, I start my Loving Out Loud class a week from tomorrow. It's next Thursday. And for those people who are in Los Angeles and around Agape who want to come to the class, if you go to the registration table either on tonight or on Sunday or next Wednesday and tell them that you heard me on this show, then you'll get $25 off of the price of the class. It's a regular price. It's $250. It's an eight-week class. It's every Thursday night for 8 weeks. We're going to really get into forgiveness and intimate relationships and all kinds of stuff and really get down and really, really learn what it's like to love ourselves and to learn what it's like to say goodbye. We always have such trouble saying goodbye. People don't want to say goodbye. They want to say, I'll see you later, till later.
Mm.
But the reality is that we can't meet again until we say goodbye.
Yeah. It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday. And if you don't say goodbye to yesterday, you can't welcome today, okay? Yeah. So you better say goodbye to yesterday and welcome today. And when you get that $25 discount, tied to Life Conversations Radio. So, Reverend Mio Kelly, you said your book, you've been working in 9 months. It sounds like the book is due, isn't it? 9 months.
I'm working on it. Now, you know, it's really funny. It's about three-quarters of the way done.
Okay.
Now that I've outed myself with that, I'm looking at probably by the end of the year.
By the end of the year. Okay,
yeah,
so
by the end
November,
of the year.
November, December?
Yeah, that's really what I'm looking at. Right now I'm putting all the stuff, all the stories and all the processes. I'm making a through line so that it actually makes sense from chapter 1 to chapter 12, you know, so that everything is making sense. And, of course, as I keep writing, other things keep popping in. So I don't want it to be, you know, war and peace, but I do want it to have some substance. So, you know, I'm not going to be like Keith Richards where I have a book that's, you know, 800 pages, but I definitely want to have something that is some substance. And also that that has principle in it. It was funny because I gave a few pages to Reverend Michael last week, and he's going, oh, this is good. This is good stuff. There's a lot of principle in here. I said, yeah, duh. Anyway, it was really fun.
I know, that's right. Come
really,
on now.
It was really sweet because, you know, and he's been a very big supporter of me with this, and he is holding me in that space to get it done. So, you know, we're rocking it. We're making it happen and letting God just all my muses and just right through me, because there is a lot of rock and roll in that book for sure.
Yeah. We might even support you and send you an invitation letter and confirm a date for December, because that might, you know, maybe we'll confirm a date around Christmas, you know, when people are celebrating the Christ consciousness, because the act of self-love is an act of birth into Christ consciousness. Maybe we'll support you in that process. But anyway, like we need a date. We need a date for December. Your book should be out.
Oh, my
God. I want to ask you this. We're supporting you. We're being your midwife. We're helping you breathe in and breathe out, push and relax. So it's all about love. Now, before you go, most of our listeners, they're part of Love Streamers. They watch, they watch Agape Surveys, and they listen to Reverend Michael. So, but some people don't. But I want you to just speak real quick. I know we're past our time. Just the experience, what it's like to be in that environment. And what Agape, what Reverend Michael teaches, and how he's transforming people.
Well, it's amazing. The interesting thing is that I had been looking for this community all my life. I really had. I was raised Catholic and, you know, studied all kinds of different religions and faiths, and, you know, I was a witch, I was a pagan, I did all of that stuff. And I read a book in 1980-something called 2150 AD by Thea Alexander, where she talked about the macro man and the macro community. And the minute that I read that, I went, I want to go to 2150. I want to find these people. I want to find who these people are. And when I got to Agape, I found us. And Reverend Michael was saying everything that was on my heart all my life. He was saying it in the pulpit. And so it's really amazing and wonderful to be in a staff, to be I'm also a part of the staff, not just a minister there, but I am a staff at Agape, and our staff is amazing. We have the most amazing, wonderful staff at Agape. They work so hard, and they do so much. You know, we've had cutbacks, we've had furloughs, we've had a lot of stuff that has happened in the last couple of years, and we're trying to bring everybody back, you know, up to, you know, full time and everything. But people that had their hours cut, they kept working. I kept working. We all kept working because we love being there. We love the vision. We believe in the mission and in the world that works for everyone. And I'm in the process of building a community, the Agape Association of Communities, which will be other communities out in the world that will be associated with Agape. It's not affiliation, it's association. And we'll be launching that over the next month or two. So, you know, it's a wonderful, wonderful time. It's a wonderful feeling to be a part of a community that is literally changing the way that people show up and behave and think on this planet.
I so agree with you. I so agree. And the energy in that place, I mean, when Reverend Michael just makes himself available. And you know, I met Reverend Michael here in my church in Atlanta, Hillside Truth Center. And I'll never forget that, well, he'd been there several times. But one day I went over to him, and I had all this stuff going on, and I just knew that he was going to give me the answer to transform my life, and I would never be the same again. And I was, couldn't wait to hear the answer. I told him everything that was going on. He looked at me and he said, "Keep meditating."
Yep.
In my head, I'm like, "What do you mean, keep meditating? I need more than that." I walked away deflated. Now I understand. I was like, "Keep meditating. Is that your best shot? Come on, Reverend Michael." But he definitely represents agape. And I've always said, anybody who was bold enough, courageous enough to allow agape, that name, to be birthed through them, has to be somebody who's strong spiritually. And even though when you stream online, I do every so often now, it's like it feels like you're there. I remember times I've been to agape after being, I was in England for such a long time. I remember I came back and I couldn't wait to get there. And I walked in and I was just in tears. And I'm like, where's all these tears coming from? Who's quieting me? But I knew I've been starved spiritually. And I was just in tears. People talk about when they get to agape, they were just crying and they don't even know why. It's such an amazing place. And I just think I'm grateful for what you all are doing over there. Thank you for your work, Reverend Kelly. And just thank you for being courageous enough to love out loud and live out loud and laugh out loud and just let people know, you know, that's what we're here to do. We're here to live out loud and love out loud. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. I've really enjoyed the conversation. As you can see, I don't want to let you go, but I got to let you go. We've already gone. But you're going to love me anyway if I keep you longer. But I won't do that because we still live on Earth.
Yeah, so I'm all right.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Rockin' Reverend has downloaded some principles, some truth, and I trust that you will use it to transform your life. Reverend Rio, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. And you know you're welcome back anytime, but you're definitely coming back in December when your book is out.
All right.
You did. December, we're going to send you an invitation. Yes, you do. It's recorded. It's archived. The
oh
show
my
is
God.
Archived, so everybody's going to hear it.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
It's been a lovely, lovely joy and a pleasure and an honor to be with you today. I really have had a load of fun, and I really appreciate you for all that you're doing for everybody out there as well, and continuing to carry the message in a wonderful, magnificent, and powerful way. Thank you.
Thank you, Reverend Rio. Thank you so much. Life is good. It's getting better. I am so grateful. I am in gratitude. I am enjoying a great attitude now. The conversation we just had has just filled me up, and I'm so, so grateful. I'm so full. That's what we're here to do. We're here to love out loud, and with all the stories, you know, I say it often, if your life is in a mess, embrace it. You embrace the mess, you get the message, and then you can be the messenger of the mess, and you realize the lesson, you realize that there's so much more. And we're all here to deliver the gift, your love. Start with self. Love yourself. It's cliched, old. They might call you a hippie. I don't care what they call you. Love yourself, because if you don't, you can't teach other people how to treat you. And the truth is, people treat us the way we treat ourselves. So you owe it to yourself, and that's why you're here, because of that time when you decide not to take that last breath. It's a decision. Your soul says, "It's it. We're done." What you're going to remember the most is the love. It's the love. And if you're in a challenging relationship right now, I am holding you in consciousness. If your relationship is just, you know, there's so many ways I can describe it. If you're challenged in your relationship, if you're challenged because you want to be in a relationship, if the challenging relationship is yourself, I'm holding you in the light of love and truth, knowing that where you are, God is. And if God is right where you are, God is in the midst of your challenge. So just take a breath, as Reverend Rio reminded us. Just breathe in. Trust the process. Be gentle with yourself. Trust love. Trust love. It's getting ready. I'm going to release the show, and I know the song I'm going to play. I love it when Spirit just gives me the song to play. But before I do that, I want to let you know, Aisha won't be here. Got a text during the show. She's having a health challenge, so she's going to love herself. So it won't be a show at 2 o'clock. But in the meantime, I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I thank God for you. And remember to be loved. It is the essence of who you are. Be loved. Be true to yourself and allow the currency of love to flow in and through you. Be loved. It's strength to allow yourself to be loved. Ask for what you want. And if you can't even get yourself to that place, if you're working on your spiritual growth, if you're working on your spiritual transformation, your whatever you're working on, trust love. Here's Ricky Byers Beckwith. Trust love. Remember, the show's archived. I'll be back here tomorrow with Reverend Karen Russo, and we're talking wealth consciousness. Oh, I love this song. I love love. I'm so full now. I don't have any more Kleenex. So let me just play the song and release the show. Ah, Reverend Rio Kelly, from my heart to yours, thank you. Thank you so much. And this is Ricky Byers Beckwith. Trust love. Life is good. Peace and blessings. I'm out of here. See you tomorrow. Thank you.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.